Hello, and welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline, and today we are recapping season one, episode 7 of Gossip Girl, called
Victor Victrola.
I definitely, on the last episode, said Victor Victoria. I'm absolutely sure of it. Which I listened to our episode last week, and I'll let you know, I haven't really been listening to your one and only source because I've been feeling like I forgot how to podcast and that it was going to be like so mortifying that I wouldn't be able to listen. But actually the feedback's been pretty good. And then I listened and I was like, because I had watched the reels because we've been recording in person. So it's been like I say it all and then it's like literally I could forget every single part of it if I wanted to. And usually I do. But when we record virtually, I have to make reels. So I like inevitably have to watch things back. Yeah. And I think that's why I've been like, wait a minute, this is kind of good. And then I went and listened to the episode and I enjoyed it. So good job, us. Good job to you. Good job to our listeners for sticking around. I'm impressed with how many of you haven't left us yet.
I know.
I mean, not yet. They're never going to leave. But like, right? I was honestly, because guys, I'll have you know, our father said to us, well, you know, you're going to lose a bunch when you switch. We were like, okay, yep, got it, pops.
When did he say that?
He said it when we were at the beach for Thanksgiving. Like at some point we were like talking to him about the rebrand and he was like, and like, what are you going to do to like keep your people? And I was like, well, I mean, like hopefully what we've been doing is how we keep the people. And he was like, well, you know, you're going to lose like a bunch. And I was like, well, yeah, but also we're hoping that we gain a bunch. We're hoping that we reach a whole new audience as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can actually help us do that. And I'm going to tell you a couple ways really quickly as part of my soliloquy that I've been doing for this podcast. But a couple ways you guys can help us know that you like it and keep making it and all those things. You can share our reels. And I don't mean you have to like put it on your story or repost it because I know that can be cringe. Phoebe won't even do it half the time. But you could DM it to someone that you're friends with that you're like, oh, they'll like this. Okay, so that's a good idea, number one. Number two is you can engage with our posts on social media. And number three is you can leave us a review. And if you could do all those things right now.
Well, also number four, just like send the podcast to people you know who listen, who watch the shows.
Or who like have watched Gossip Girl and loved it. Or Pretty Little Liars. Like, we believe like Ride, you should start at the beginning. Because
even though that does jokes. It does make me want to die sometimes.
To think of people. I keep being like.
It's not so much the like, if I ever had the technology or the bandwidth or if we ever have the employees to do this, I'm not embarrassed by anything we said about the show, which might be shocking to people considering, if you guys said some of the stuff that we said, you might be embarrassed, but we're not. However, sometimes it is the stuff before the episode recap that I'm like, I can't bear to go back and listen to that.
Phoebe's biggest fear is that like what happened to Iowa Debris is gonna happen to us, like when she hosted SNL and people found her tweets about who, J-Lo,
or even like what's like Lost Culture, like they did something wrong and then they go back, people go back and or honestly, here's the thing, and if you guys are doing this, you're not real ones. Whoa. There are people who have been listening to Lost Culture forever and ever and ever and they have these things banked. And, like, you didn't just go randomly listen to an episode that's 8 years old and find the one thing that they said that you think is fucked up.
Yeah. It is crazy. I mean, it's frightening to think of. I, like, keep thinking about Matt and Bowen, and I'm like, God, I literally started listening to them when they had the old logo. Like, I want to say it was, like, maybe, honestly, their first year. And I, like, didn't know who they were at all. I just was looking for a pop culture podcast. And I didn't know half the stuff they talked about. And then, like, through them, I've, like, learned so much about pop culture as well. Yeah. And I just, like, I think of us as I think of them when they first started. Because, obviously, our trajectories will be startlingly similar. And I'm, like, they just never thought it was going to matter. And the one thing I'll say about talking about more reality stuff than like entertainment, other entertainment.
It doesn't matter as much.
Well, I, on one hand, I think that. On the other hand, I'm like, Lisa Barlow will 100% see it. You know what I mean? Like, if I post a reel talking shit on Lisa Barlow, I can bet my bottom dollar
that's
homegirl seeing it. You know, however, and then I'm like, ugh.
If we ever,
but then we have,
if we ever host SNL, and Lisa Barlow is the musical guest,
right? Which,
and that reel comes to light,
yeah,
she wouldn't. She wouldn't be mad like other people might be mad. You know?
Yeah.
The stakes feel lower for these people. Because the thing is, also, the fans of these people don't ride or die the same way fans of regular celebrities do.
Yeah.
So, like, if we said something wrong 3 years ago that I might not even still agree with, that's where the fear comes in. And it's there forever. And I just hope that they don't build an AI. I know they already have probably built it, that's going to be able to scan words.
Why are you putting this idea in my head? I've never had this idea, and now you're putting it not only in my head but into the universe and giving it to other people and directly into other people's heads too. Can we say this for the Patreon? Like, this is insane talk.
Yeah, we should. I have to edit this tonight, so we should get into the episode.
Let's get into the episode. But guys, that was a plug for our Patreon, because the Patreon is going to be where you hear these kind of insane thoughts from us these days. And let us know if you liked our Tuesday app. I feel like it was like fun. Okay. Anyway, you look so cute, by the way, Fee.
Thanks.
Oh my God, did I tell you? Like,
my PJs.
Really, this is the last. Okay. And this is the last thing I'm gonna say. I am gonna go into depth about my NOLA experience probably on the Tuesday episode / Patreon if you want to hear. And it was truly epic. If you saw the video, then you know. But can everyone go tag Mary Beth Barone in my Alice video, please? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you
guys,
must
go see. Get and Caroline,
because here's the thing, I'm going to her show,
and Caroline, I'll be happy for you. But if we get a notice from her and I don't have anything to do with it, I'll carry that to
the door.
The door has been
open for you on that TikTok for so long.
I know, but
you must choose to walk through it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Do things that end you up in the room where it happens. That's my whole motto. Do things that end you up in the room where it happens. Anyway, but what I just really quickly wanted to say is that I'm reading.
Immediately bragging.
I have been reading so much lately, but I'm reading Book Lovers by Emily Henry, and it's like two sisters on a trip, and the younger sister calls her older sister Sissy. And it's literally like, I cannot with this. It's making me so emo. And I just wanted to say that.
Well,
you don't care?
One day that'll be us.
What, going on a trip?
Sure.
See you at Thanksgiving. Like, see you there. I'll be there. Anyway, I hope you're going to come home to see MBB with me. But here's the thing, if we can get her to notice the TikTok. That sucks for you. I'm gonna tell her.
I know.
If she notices the TikTok, then I'm gonna be like, "Hey, girl, see you in a month. I'll wear the outfit if you want. If you will, I'll wear the outfit if you want and if you will." And then I'm also like, they talk about Gossip Girl all the time, so putting it in the Universe Dream Club. But anyway, everyone go tag Mary Beth Barone, and I will know if you listen to the podcast. Because you'll do it. And that's actually a test. And I love tests.
This is like when you would get emails in school that would be like, there would be like a normal paragraph and then another paragraph. And then it said, later in this email, I am going to ask a question. You have to reply with your answer. And then like in the very body of the email, it'd be like, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Yeah.
And it would be a test.
I would never pass that.
Really?
Well, I just am not reading all that.
I think that when I was a freshman, Mr. DeLuca did that. So I think it like instilled that in my brain. So I don't skim emails anymore.
If I had adults who were always setting traps for me in school, I'm sure I would also think that way. Just kidding. Okay, so we are recapping episode Victor Victrola. I forgot what a massive episode this was. And honestly, they were like, heard you were in NOLA this weekend, Caroline. We're opening with a burlesque show.
It low-key, like, I was a little bit like, this episode is like kind of filler vibes, and then it got serious fast.
And then it gets fucking crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Filler, and all the action is jam-packed in like the last 7 minutes. But there is action. So burlesque is all the rage again. We're opening with this like retro style film, and we have
sounds like Hannah's mall walkout music.
Yes, it does. Wait, by the way. Benson, on the New York Times.
Is that what you call her?
Benson and I. No, no, that's what I call Benson Boone, of course. That's his name. I was doing a crossword, and one of the clues was Ashley from Pretty Little Liars. Ashley from Pretty Little Liars.
And was I wrote it Benson or Marin?
It was Benson.
I said Caroline is full of Pretty Little Liars. What I meant to say is Caroline is full of bragging tonight, and that is instant karma for being mean.
Full of both. Yes, and that is. And we love to see karma happen IRL, and we really do. And by the way, you guys, I'm just speaking in riddles right now. If you're not on our side, you're on the wrong side. About you know what. Okay, so anyway, I just thought it was funny that, like, they're at a burlesque show. I was just at a burlesque show. And that's, like, copying. Who's copying who? Just kidding. I will say the burlesque show I went to was bonkers. I couldn't believe my eyes, Phoebe. I was, like, freaking out watching through my fingers.
Watching through my fingers is so funny.
It was insane. Like, the first half
was, you didn't get up on stage and do what Blair did?
No, they invited us at the end. I didn't do what Blair did, no. But they were like, this audience was really fun. Like, at the end, like, one of the girls went and, like, whispered once everyone's, like, already getting up and going. They're like, by the way, this audience was really fun, which, like, of course it was. They're like, we're going to set up a private room back here. By the way, they're all butt-ass naked. It was, yes, Phoebe.
Oh, my God.
First act was, like, they were like, it's, like, a classic New Orleans burlesque show, and the second act was dirty, which it was, like, we had a blast. You know, it was crazy, but I was just like, oh, my God, I'm such a prude, I guess. Because it was crazy. But actually, we all felt like it was crazy. Gibson was watching, jaw dropped the entire time. it was epic.
She probably had, like, more of, like, a bachelor party vibe than David will have.
Oh, most definitely. It was really awesome. Anyway, so we're at a burlesque show now again. And we see Chuck on a couch watching as somebody, who is it, I don't know, is freaking stripping on stage.
Me forgetting it was off. Blair. Man, this looks a hell of a lot like Blair.
You forgot it was Blair?
I haven't watched this show in a long time, and I never rewatched it.
Which actually is really exciting, because now some of this stuff will feel very new to you. Well, so Blair is meeting with Chuck. We go to daytime now. Mm-hmm. And Blair is meeting with Chuck, and we're at this club. It's called Victrola, and Chuck wants his dad to invest in it, and this to be like a franchise business of burlesque clubs and whatever. It's very Chuck Bass, of course, for
us. And we're starting
to see... 16 years old.
Yeah. We're starting to see... I feel like this episode, obviously, at the end, but even just now, we're seeing Blair look at Chuck in a little bit of a different mm-hmm. way.
Totally.
Like, she's seeing him, the guise of all of the, as she says, the underage boozing and womanizing is kind of lifting for a second.
I agree, and I think we're also seeing him see her a little bit differently, or, like, we're really... I think this episode, I was thinking it in the beginning, I was like, this is a really good episode for their relationship, because it's really showing us, like... that they're different with each other, and they, like, kind of are starting to handle each other a little bit with care. Not obviously they don't continue to do that, but, like, even him saying to her, you know, at some point we're about to get to this point where she's, like, proud of him, and he genuinely looks so, like, happy, like a little boy almost, when she's like, I'm actually proud of you, and he's like mm-hmm. really excited, and he tells her that she's his toughest critic, or second toughest behind his dad, and it's like we see that he really cares, like, what she thinks, and, like, respects her opinion and all these things that Nate, just, like, as much as we love good guy Nate, he does not do any of those things. Like, he literally, I don't think, knows anything about Blair. And there is, in a way, like, Chuck's, like, stupid bad boy, obviously. But also, he's got a little bit of this, like, savvy, street smart kind of energy that mm-hmm. I think where Blair's got, like, all the book smarts, and together they kind of, like, Nate has neither, unfortunately. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're so cute.
He just has the heart of gold.
I mean, the heart of gold. He's kind of like the never tarnishes. Yes, he's honestly, he gives big Fiero vibes too. Like, I mean, massive. Which is like, he's just gotten by dancing through life. Like, it's been mm-hmm. fine. And then eventually he's going to start dating Vanessa and realize, like, that he should be a vegetarian or something. And that's going to be his whole play.
Exactly. So,
so
Chuck is planning for a victory party tomorrow. And he says that he'll send a car for Blair. And then we go to the Archibald Manor.
Dude, this is Dare I say it again?
Or Archibald Abode.
3, 2, 1, bonkers.
Jesus. Stop trying to make that happen.
Oh my God, this weekend, Addie and Kai kept going 3, 2, 1, release them, and then flashing their boobs. I mean, Caroline, do it. I was like, no, I'll be arrested. No. Well, we weren't in the house. We weren't on the street.
So what did Addie say?
What?
Oh my god. Wait, okay, also, wasn't my text back so funny?
Yeah, I read it out loud to her. So obviously, like, okay, me and my, sorry,
is this something you can say on the podcast?
Yeah, quick segue, everyone. Me and my friends, the Blonde Bombshells, who met in college, we actually didn't become friends until second semester senior year, which is insane. Like, it's crazy.
I'm happy that this other story is starting, because now I know that it was like a personal thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think will make it funnier.
So, yeah. So we started being friends then. And so, like, all the years before that, Clyde and I were always sort of like, you know, frenemy vibes. Like, we would like have massive blowout fights and like hate each other. And we'd like drunkenly make up one night, like kiss, like make out, take pictures of us kissing, and then like not speak for a year. Like, you know, like our relationship was just like that. It was just not ripe yet, but then it was time. And so we all became friends, whatever, but all our pictures from 2016 are not with each other. And so we're doing our dumps from 2016, and Phoebe texts me, and she's like, not like, oh, I'm confused. Like, all the Bombshells are posting 2016 dumps, and like, you're not in it.
That's not what I texted her, because I wanted to be very careful about what I said to Caroline. Because
you knew
I'd
screenshot and send it like I did?
No, it was so I didn't create a problem in your head that didn't already exist.
And that is really that Phoebe said, like, handle her with care.
I saw that you had commented.
Handle her with care.
He had commented and liked everything. So I was, but I knew, like, you guys,
okay,
became friends late.
She's not
late
on the ledge. Okay.
I knew you guys had become friends late in college, but like, I'm so young that I just don't really, my idea
bragging?
Of time. That,
now you're bragging.
That was kind of tongue in cheek the way that I said that. Right. But I couldn't remember when that was in your college experience. Mm-hmm. So I texted Caroline kind of in a conspicuous way. Inconspicuous way. Again,
inconspicuous,
the thing
mean?
Is that I get it right when I don't think about it, but when I'm on the podcast, I want to get it right so badly that I think so hard about it, I
you
always say the wrong
so
one.
You care so much.
Anyway, in an inconspicuous way, I was like, when did you and, like, Addie become friends?
Yeah. And I knew exactly what you meant. Well, I thought you were talking about mine, though. Like, I thought you were, like, about mine, and you were, like,
I was in, like, my sister bag.
Yeah, she was, which is cool, because it doesn't happen often. So
I think
epic.
I texted Caroline, I was, like, with every dump I saw from one of them that you weren't in, the matter I was getting.
She thought they were just, like, literally dissing me on the feed.
Collectively. They have a separate group chat. They're like, how funny would it be?
Like,
how
don't
funny
post any pictures
if we didn't include Caroline.
And I'm like, they actually cropped me out of all their pictures. I was in them.
It's
they
like Blake Lively me. And Ryan Reynolds, the way that he posts for her birthday.
Literally, yes, which is funny. Yeah, so anyway, that's just like a precursor to the story, because I screenshotted what Phoebe said to me and sent it to the Bombshells. And I was like, this is so funny. Like, I had to explain to her that we didn't know each other, but like, can you believe we didn't know each other? That's so wild. Cause like, they're like my best friends. And they were like, honestly, like, Phoebe was right to be mad. Like, Phoebe, we were going to do better. We're so sorry. Like, I know we don't have pictures together, but still,
it should have at least been in the comment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was like, I've got this spare picture of Clyde.
Comment.
I'm going to throw it in there. And it turns out that was from a different year.
Hey guys,
it was from
this.
2017.
It should have been a pinned comment on the post that said,
and
all
we
caps,
hadn't
disclaimer, colon, we had not met Caroline Connell, mm-hmm. tagger,
yeah.
until 2017.
Back the podcast. Yeah. Like, I do think it's really lucky that Gibson's Bachelorette was right after these posts dropped, so that people didn't have to think something was wrong. You know
exactly.
what I mean? Like, they just saw us together. But anyway, so we were all like laughing about that. And then we get to the house and we're laughing. And Addie was like, I'm honestly so scared of Phoebe. Like, I'd be so scared of Phoebe. And they're just like, don't roast me on the pod. Like, oh my God, like saying all this stuff. And so then Addie and I had the distinct pleasure of sleeping in bunk beds this weekend. And we
Caroline,
had
don't
a.
Roll your eyes when you say, that's one of Caroline's favorite experiences in life.
In college, when Chloe and I were in bunk beds, of course. Well, we had bunk beds in college because we did it willingly. Our beds weren't in bunk beds. We requested that. And I was on the top, which is insane. But I'm so skinny. It was like, Chloe was like, you should do it. Anyway.
Chloe was like, please, please, please. I need to be on the bottom.
I'm nervous. Yeah. So these bunk beds were like big. They're like queen size, like full size bunk beds. Mm-hmm. And we had a bathroom that connected with Clyde. And so one night we like get back after the burlesque show and we all go lay in Clyde's bed, me, Addie, and Clyde. And we're just like talking, gabbing. And then we're like, okay, we gotta go to bed. It's like 4 a.m. So we go to bed, Addie's in the top bunk, and we just cannot stop LOLing. Like, we are laughing so hard. And we're like, go to sleep. Oh my God. And then I'm like, don't you dare stick your head over the side of the bunk bed. And then of course she does it. And then I have to kick her with my feet. Like, and then like there were just like kind of jokes where I'd like touch the bunk bed. And then one joke was like, I was like, should I play Ocean Sound so you'll shut the fuck up? And she was like, is that the fucking Atlantic Ocean? Like, it was just like, we were just cracking up. And then we're like, okay, bedtime. And we're in bed and we're being trying to be quiet. And I like adjust a little bit. And she goes, oh my God, it literally feels like an earthquake.
Holy fuck. Addie. I was going to say.
I cannot wait to tell Phoebe that. And she goes, no, don't tell Phoebe. Don't tell Phoebe I thought it. Don't tell her. And I'm like, I'm going to tell Phoebe. Said, you ever heard of Pangea, bitch? It feels like the tectonic plates are snapping into place right now. I'm going to tell her. She's like, no, not Phoebe. Anyone but Phoebe. You're going to tell her and you're going to tell the podcast. I said, I am. I can't wait to tell her what you said. Because we were still like in jokey mode. So she was like, we were like, go to bed, you know? And then...
Oh, and she things got serious.
She said that as like a joke, and like, but it was fun. Like, we were cracking up, and I was like, "Well, good news. I can't feel it at all when you move. When you move on the top bunk of this bed, it doesn't. I don't hear it at all. It's not shaking the whole bed."
When you sent me that picture of her in the pool, I thought she had said it from that position.
So you thought I was in a bathing suit? Crazy.
Well, no. You didn't ever tell me, but she.
Oh,
said.
I didn't tell you what it was. Yeah. Well,
Caroline texted me. She said with this picture of Addie in the pool.
Of dead. Addie dead in the pool with her arms crossed over her chest.
And then she said, you'll never believe what Addie just said to me.
I said, this is what Addie's going to look like when after I tell you what she said to me.
Oh.
This is what she's going to look like. As in, you were going to kill her.
And then I said, which was very
Phoebe
good.
Was like, yeah.
I said, she's giving the vibe of the kid at the pool on vacation that wants to play with you and your sisters or you and your cousins, and like, and they are so weird, but they will not stop following you around the pool thinking you guys are friends
and you're just ignoring her. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm taking a picture of you, like, oh my God, freak. Yeah, so anyway, but it was just so funny because she said it, and then I was like, I can't wait to tell Phoebe what you said, and she no, don't tell Phoebe. It was so funny. And so then all weekend that was like a joke, like if anyone said anything mean to me, they're like, don't tell Phoebe, please. Just Caroline, whatever you do, just like, please don't tell Phoebe I said that. And I was like, I'm telling her. And anyway, so I just...
And so Caroline has a list from the trip, and on the Patreon, we're going to go over it.
Yeah, I have a lot of stories, so I'll tell you there. Okay. Anyway, Nate is being sent to rehab. Insane to have the captain entertaining it to this point. Also insane to be like, and Nate, you have your choice. They like lay out all these brochures. They're like, choose which rehab speaks to you the most, my guy.
And then Nate gets Mrs. Archibald out of the room and is like, son, you're not going to end up in one of these places. Everything is going to be fine. And what I think is really interesting... and troubling and sad is he takes the approach of, and I understand Nate, and it's clear throughout the episode that Nate is upset that his dad is struggling.
Yeah.
Or could be struggling. He doesn't really know the extent of it yet. But the captain makes it about that. Like, he's like, don't be upset. Like, I'm fine. Like, you don't have to worry about me. Like, that's why Nate's upset. And I think at this point, Nate is upset that you're letting Nate's him like, take the fall you're for gonna... a hard drug and he could have to end up in rehab.
Yeah, exactly. You're creating a scenario where I have to be, like, locked away because of a problem I don't have.
And my other parent has to be... You're putting me in a position where I'm keeping a secret for one of my parents. Yep. That's putting me in a position.
Okay, Captain for the Byron other Montgomery Corps
to be so disappointed in me. Yeah, that's totally. A really good way to put it. But except, and not that this, I'm not defending Byron, but this is to another level because Ella wasn't disappointed in Arya for any reason.
Right.
Arya
just
had to walk around knowing that her mom was sad about something and she couldn't tell her what.
No, this is like a million times worse. It's pretty, I would be literally like, losing my shit.
I don't wanna
and
know.
The captain's like, okay, so I'm just going to tell you how it happened. Like, I just, the work got really tough and like, I'm not, you know, as quick as I used to be. And there was just like this, some young guy saw me fading at the office one night and he offered me to pick me up and I didn't even like it. I'm going to flush the bag. And of course, like Nate kind of believes him a little bit. And he's like, but I really
madder than you would expect, I think.
Yes. Yes. Cause he's, I think it's just like, well, again, it's like, I'm not his that mad that you're doing it. I'm mad that like, regardless of how you got into it and what you're going to do and you're going to flush the bag existed and I'm in trouble for it. So like, it doesn't really matter where we go from here. But, he's like, but I just need us to like get through tonight because they're having dinner with the Waldorfs tonight. And they're going to be like toasting to the deal between the captain's company and Eleanor's company, but also the union of Nate and Blair. So he needs Nate to just like keep it together until then. And he's like, let's have drinks at the club after school. I was really relieved when he said non-alcoholic, of course. Cause I was like, what the fuck? Oh my God. Black Swan vibes.
I knew you were going to say that as soon as I put it in the frame. But what I was going to say is a little piece of home follows me wherever I go. This is from
me.
This is from the feather of one of the pillows in Mom and Dad's living room.
I do hate it though.
Stuck in my sweatshirt.
They hurt. Why do feathers hurt when they poke you?
I feel like if we were going to put them in what is meant to be the softest thing in the world, it needs the inside of the pillow either needs to be an impenetrable force.
Yes.
Or fabric. And two, why are we not figuring out a way to snip off that part?
Why? Like,
let me tell you.
Can it not be like the sharpest blade known to mankind?
If Andrew Winchester were in charge here, he would have that taken care of.
100%.
Because a down pillow is a privilege.
Absolutely. And a privilege must be treated as such. Okay, so Jenny is on the phone with Vanessa freaking out because, of course, she lost the bracelet that the guy lent her for the ball. I would be shitting my pants. I can't even imagine. And she doesn't know that Blair has it. And she's like so fucking scared. And then in the other room, Rufus is fighting on the phone with Allison Humphrey. And Jenny's like, Jenny seems like she's like listening. Like, I'm so glad my parents are talking on the phone.
But they're fully arguing. And isn't he saying, wait, is
the, he's like, you slept with another guy or something.
Is that
like
this convo or the convo
it might be the next
Dan
one.
Walks into, I think.
Yeah.
So
Vanessa is the most annoying person on planet Earth this
episode. Jenny's on the phone with Vanessa and Vanessa's like, ask Rufus if he's seen it. Call him Mr. Humphrey. And Rufus is like, they like have a little banter about how Jenny can't describe it super well. And then Jenny goes to answer the door as Rufus says, who are you on the phone with? And Jenny opens the door.
Me? Vanessa's like, do you think, Roof?
But hey, where's the other Humphrey?
Where's the other Humphrey? And then we see him making out with Serena. Now this scene, let's really break this down. These two are up against the bricks and the cement steps at the school. And they are making out, open mouth kissing, feeling each other up. There's no way he doesn't have a heart on. I'll just say it. There's no way. And
he's obsessed with that. The last
with a
two
heart
episodes.
On? I'm obsessed with the hard on, of course. Just kidding. So Serena says something hilarious to Dan, who's a scholarship kid. She goes, you'd think with all the money we spent on this private school, they could give us a better spot to make out. And someone yells, like, get a room. And they do say this epic line, that's the plight of Manhattan teenagers, no cars. Is that foreshadowing because of what happens at the end of the episode? Blair and Chuck have sex in a car.
Well, that's a really...
I never noticed it. I was like, just knowing that that's coming later. And also like, God, yeah, that would be hard because very much of my hanky panky happened in cars.
Right.
It just Yuck. Did. Okay. It just did.
I don't want to hear about it.
Oh my God. Right. So I've kissed someone. It's not that big of a deal.
Just one person.
Just one. My husband, of course. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So then they're talking and they're like, trying to find a more private spot. Basically, she's like stripping him. She's like taking his clothes off. She's like, I can't wait to jump your freaking bones down. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why we're hot and bothered at school.
She does seem like she's super, super genuinely interested in it.
Yeah.
And it is Dan. So I don't know that this is really the case. But part of me does think, like, is this just the speed in the thing that she's used to with guys, yeah. and she thinks it's what's expected of her. So she has. It's makes kind me think of
tell
like,
me lies.
I was gonna say it was kind. It's kind of giving too? Pippa early mm-hmm. on when she's like, I just like she's overperforming.
Also, because Lucy she thinks Leo.
Yes, you're right. That's
when
another
she,
good
you know what
one.
I mean. When she's like, "Oh, you don't have like you don't have to use a condom," and he was like, "What?" Like,
yeah,
and all the and she was like, "Oh, you don't have to like whatever," and he was like, "Okay, let's not." Do
that's
this
not the
then.
First tell me lies reference I'm gonna make in this.
Oh my god, I have another last week. You guys heard me sell it. You heard me sell it to Phoebe. Let me just tell you, she freaking bought and she's a returning customer. She's obsessed
guys,
with the show.
It's, I'm rewatching it.
It's
weekend.
So good. You have to. Well,
that's
have
my weekend
to.
Plan. Is I'm rewatching the whole thing.
Snowstorm. Rewatching. Tell me lies.
I don't think we're gonna get a lick of snow.
Really?
Here. I just feel like everybody's getting so worked up. I'm gonna eat my words. This is literally play by play repeat of the Steelers last week. This is
me saying,
guys, I think we got it in the bag. And then this week, me saying, I don't think we're gonna get any snow. I'm gonna not.
You
be
do
able
this
to walk
actually
my
about
apartment.
Tons of things. It's always, I think, Stevie's the most. She's like, I just know it. And then she didn't. And then
that's actually
she didn't
really
know
good.
It.
There's going to be like a call sheet predictor that's like, what is Phoebe Connell?
Yeah.
That is going to gonna happen this weekend. It's going to be the opposite of that. I just like, I feel like things are still so up in the air. I'm just a little bit like,
totally.
How do we not? I mean, I know things can change. I understand that. But like,
how about
we really
a
don't know?
Weather.
And also, it's not going to be that cold here. Like, it's going to be cold, but it's not going to be...
Well, that's part of the issue, of course. Because it's not going to be so cold where you are, and there's this huge Arctic wind coming through, and it's going to get the warmer air above and create rain, and that freezes, and that's going to be the snow.
Yeah.
So it's actually...
But
that's
the thing is, we still don't know if our region is getting snow or rain.
Yeah, well, I think you are getting close.
All I'm saying is
she's watching Tell Me Lies this weekend.
Yeah.
It is totally porn, though, by the way. So just so you guys know, like,
and
don't
guys,
turn
by
it
the
on
way, it's,
in a public place.
It's,
don't watch
it's
it on an airplane.
More, it is more intense than Heated Rivalry.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I would feel 100% more comfortable watching Heated Rivalry in front of Mom than
agreed.
Tell Me Lies.
Oh,
we're
1,000%.
Seeing full, like... waist dimples on these girls.
It's crazy.
I don't know if that's
everything.
What you would call it, but we're seeing
well,
their
it was
hip bones.
Honestly a relief when I found out that Grace Van Patten and what's his Jackson White are dating. I was like, okay, well, thank God. You know what I mean? Because
it was
I'm
a relief
like,
in that sense.
They better
not
be
in any other way.
Because I'm watching them have sex, so they better be dating. the show is so good. So anyway, but it's giving Tell Me Lies, and that like, yeah, that's I never thought of it that way, Phoebe, but. Like, she's like, oh, this is just, like, what guys like, and I'm just gonna, like, do what guys like and just be this girl and, like,
we kind of see that,
like, everything
end.
Else. Yeah.
But I can't
100%.
Tell if it's because she sees Dan differently or because she sees if she's letting her guard down. I can't tell what's really happening.
We'll talk about it more when we get there because we'll talk about that when we get there. Okay, anyway, Kadi and Iz are taking pictures from above, and Serena's like, okay, like, bye, guys, bye. I'm like, you didn't have to be photographed. You didn't have to be seen by everyone. You are at the foot of the steps. This wall goes back, like, 10 feet. Just, like,
and
10 feet back and be in the shadows
like,
if you're
walking
to jump
class,
into his bones.
And she is still trying, and she's like,
literally,
we could just, like, hop
she's
in
like,
a
let's
broom
just get
closet
it over with
quick.
In a broom closet. Like, what the fuck? And then he, like, scurries away like he's scared of her. Okay, so we're walking through the halls. Jenny runs into Nate. He calls her Serena, and he was looking for her. And you just see on Jenny's face, she's like thrilled to hear this. She loves him. She's in love with him, but he wants her to know that he didn't mean anything he said about having feelings for Serena. And Jenny's like, okay, well, like, I don't know if you forgot, but my brother's freaking dating her. My brother's cool now. My brother's
and then she
dating
shoved
her,
him.
And they're serious. They're about to do it. they're about to do it, Nate. They're about to do it. So I'm
how's
just saying, like, even if you don't want me to tell Blair, like, my big
Jenny's
bro.
Like, Jenny's like, I'm just saying, like,
I don't know how I'm
you
not
already think
bro.
That I look a little bit like her.
We could just do a quick little swap, and then you might not even honestly notice the difference. Anyway, so he's like, let me give you these chocolates because he thinks that the chocolates will bribe her, like, not to tell anyone. He's like, it's better for everybody if we just pretend this never happened. And he's like, do you promise me? And Blair shows up and says, promise what? And he hands her the chocolates. Mm-hmm. Jenny seems
and she's like,
pissed.
These aren't my favorite. This isn't my favorite flavor profile, but it'll do.
You know, I prefer the gold collection. Thank you.
And then Jenny gets up to leave and Blair follows her quickly and is like, hey, Cinderella, look what I fucking found.
Dude, Blair, honestly, any Blair hate is completely unwarranted after I watched this scene. Blair could have blown her the fuck up. Could she not have?
No, that's true.
Blair's like, Blair, well, I mean, if I'm Blair, okay, I'm making her sweat way longer than this. Yes, because the bracelet. If I'm Blair, I'm like, I'm making you sweat about this for a while. I'm not going to tell you that I have the bracelet right away because you broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And so anyway, Blair's like, got the bracelet, tells Jenny she hates secrets more than anything. Friends don't lie. And we're friends, right?
So then we go to Bart's office and I'm like, Chuck's taking the day, I guess. And Lily and Bart are in Bart's office and he's like,
they're having what I would call a rendezvous.
When can we go public? When can we go public? He's like, he's groveling and she's like, I have a way that I want to do this. And this is not it.
This ain't it. She's like, my kids need to know first. And I'm like, Lily, you're going to eat those words. You're going to wish you had said we can go public today after what you're going to learn.
Yeah.
And Chuck comes in and catches them in the act. And Lily tries to cover it up, but she has a button unbuttoned or something. And Chuck, like, sees it. And Chuck seems, like, kind of surprised that Bart is serious about Lily. Like, I think it is.
But kind of endeared.
Pleasantly
and
surprised. Like, he. Yeah, and honestly, the Lily-Chuck relationship is one of my favorites in the show.
I agree.
I think she just, like...
And I like that it's continued with Kelly Rutherford and Ed Westwick. Like, they...
Me too.
They're friends.
Me too. So, Lily leaves, and Chuck basically pitches everything to Bart. Well, he goes, what's with the business formal? Are you being arraigned for something?
I love
like,
that
does,
line.
Does Chuck not wear a suit every day, though?
Truly.
Is he not in a three-piece suit
he
with
almost
tails,
looks
basically,
like he's
every
in...
day?
His uniform.
I know, for school. I'm like, this is
where he should be.
But it is funny. And it's like, but
imagine we go to, up to dad's office with a business proposal on a school day in business
he's
formal.
Like,
and he's
oh,
like,
no.
Oh my guys, it wouldn't end like this.
No, it would not end like this. But
it would end with a police car taking me to either the station or school. But I don't know. Truancy is a threat.
He literally be like, can you put someone in jail for truancy? Let's figure it. Let's try at least. Let's try.
At least. A holding. Dad's like, at least a holding cell.
Do you guys film Scared Straight here? Because I want my daughters on that list.
It's the Mount Lebanon Police Department. They're like,
you know, I did that once when I was in college for my honor sociology class. We did a field trip to like one of the like. High prison or high security prisons in South Carolina, and it was crazy the way that we had to dress to go in. They made us all wear like we had like signed a contract saying we would wear like sweats and like not know anything that would show our bodies or anything like that. We weren't allowed to wear makeup. Your hair had to be up, like everything. And they were like, the men are gonna like throw themselves at the walls and like say anything they can, like get you to look at them, like whatever. And it was a Scared Straight prison where they do that program. And so they treat every school that comes in like that.
Oh,
so we're all like these like honors college kids. And I'm not kidding. We had like these three inmates who literally like screaming at us. Like they're like, I mean, there's because they're supposed to scare you straight, like and treat you a certain way. And so like also the inmates aren't really like told not to act like that because it's like. They
it's
don't want you to
thing.
Want to come back. And then at the very end, they're like, okay, hey, guys, like, we're going to do a Q&A now. And like, we're, you know, we are nice guys, you know, whatever. But it was crazy. It was crazy. It was wild.
Well, that's basically what Dad would have had us do if we had showed up to his office with a business proposal.
Wanting
his investment on a school day.
Exactly. Yeah, in the morning. But it's a moment where we see from Chuck that like he wants just like to be seen by somebody and he wants somebody in the world to be proud of him. And it really makes sense like why his relationship with Lily is so meaningful to him and why he values Blair so much and why this works. It's like, because her opinion means a lot to him, and she's someone who sees him and is proud of mm-hmm. him and, like, doesn't just see him for the degenerate that he is. And it's, like, right away in the scene with his dad, it starts with, are you being arraigned, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, you just see it start chipping away at Chuck, like, as he's, you know, like, talking to his dad. And it's, like, he's got this whole proposal.
It, like, chips away, and then he shows the proposal to... Like, yeah. you see how quickly both things happen. As yes. soon as he says something positive about the proposal and how excited he maybe is about it, mm-hmm. Chuck perks up and it's a completely different demeanor within, like, milliseconds.
Yes, yes. And Bart's, like, so pleased. And Chuck just seems, like, so excited. He's like, I want you to come see the place. Bart is like, yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to go after my meetings. And it's just, like, this moment where, again, we see that, like, little boy version of Chuck where he just, like, lights up with the idea that his dad is going to take him seriously and be proud of him and pleased with something, even though it is very Chuck Bass. Like, even though it mm-hmm. is a burlesque club, it's like he's doing really what his dad wants him to do, which is using the skills that he does have and the interests that he does have and turn it into something, you know? So yeah. Anywho, we go to the steps of the school. Blair and Serena are there eating the chocolates. Blair goes, I saw on Gossip Girl that you and Dan were having sex out here and posted pictures of it. So, hey, Dan, what the hell is that? You're acting all shy. You're literally posting your own, like,
he's like, public this sex is tape going on to Gossip Girl. Destroy Nate Archibald.
It's so funny to me. I'm like, we need to do an episode where we just, like, break down, like, in every episode. Yeah. At the end of every season, we should go through and be like, okay, so, like, how actually did this message come to be? Like, because...
That would be good.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
What is the line that Blair says about High School Musical?
In this
she
episode?
Says, it's not so High School Musical scandalous.
Oh, I don't know. I must have missed it.
She says it right after she says, I heard you were having sex with Dan out here.
I then heard her say, I heard it was aggressive. I think I missed that part.
Well, I wrote it down because it's so the 20th High School Musical of High School
scandalous?
Musical. Not so High School Musical scandalous or something like that.
I'm going to look it up.
And then she's like, but don't worry, Serena. It's not streaming yet. Your little sex film. And then Serena's like talking about how good Dan has been at everything that they've done.
Well, it's not very High School Musical scandalous. And no, they haven't streamed it yet. I don't know what that means. But this is the year High School Musical came out. No, High School Musical 2.
Did they come out year to year to year?
In with the new, I don't know.
Because it's the 20th anniversary of High School Musical this year.
Which is sick.
Like, it just happened. Like, yesterday.
Well, yeah,
or
so
the
then
before.
That would be. So, Gossip Girl debuted in 2007.
Yeah. So, I knew it was a reference to High School Musical.
But, and yeah. Interesting.
I think there were 2 years between each of them.
Yeah, that, or at least a year and a half, yes. So. Serena is sharing. She's like, Dan's been surprisingly good at everything we've done. And Blair's like, well, of course you've had sex, right? And Serena's like, no, and we haven't talked about it. And I don't think I remember this either. This is Serena's first real boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So I think you're really onto something, Phoebe. It's just like she's so used to like not being seen as serious or
and
like not
like with
a girl that
older
needs to be
men.
Respected. Yeah, exactly. Where like she wouldn't be able to date them anyway. Like,
not to bring it back to Tell Me Lies, but I think that if Bree had met Oliver before Evan, mm-hmm. that would have written it probably already did it in a different way. It warped how she looks at relationships. Absolutely. But if like her first sexual experience was with.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we do actually kind of see it with the guy she loses her virginity to. It kind of shapes like she's having sex the way that she thinks you have sex.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Not in a way that like is enjoyable.
Right.
For either party.
Yeah. She's like performing. So Serena asks Blair if it's possible for a guy to want to slow things down. And Blair goes, only the guys we like, which is so funny. And she's like, but with you, I really can't imagine why. And then we get Dan's sex dream about Serena with the Pretty Little Liars filter. Pretty Little Liars slash Twilight
filter. No, but it's almost worse because it's almost like you can hear the tape rolling. You know, the sound that like plays when it's like you can hear the tape rolling in the back. You know what I mean?
You know, I like that you're about to try to do it, and then you realize, like, I can't do the I can't do that fucking sound. You're like, uh-oh. You hear the tape rolling. You fucking know what the tape rolling sounds like, okay? I don't need to do it for you, even though I can.
It's just this kind of top secret. I don't want anyone stealing it.
Yeah, well, I'm watching you studying your lips, so, yeah, if you start doing it, I'm going to know how immediately.
Anyway, It's like that's what makes it worse than the Pretty Little Liars filter. Because with the Pretty Little Liars filter, it's like they just put a piece of tissue paper over the camera, and it's like, and there's like a ton of backlighting, and it's like very warm. Whereas this, it's like when they like want to show an old saloon Western scene, and you can hear the tape rolling, and then it's like the grainy and the lines keep going over.
Yeah, it's what we come back to in the end when Blair and Chuck.
And in the beginning when we have the burlesque montage. Yes. But it is, it's Stan and Serena in bed, and then Caudian is our rating it, and they are generous. They give him a
Dan's like, how was it? And she's like, I don't know, let's ask the judges. And she's like, wow. She looks like she hated it so much. And Iz gives him a 4, like Phoebe said, but Connie gives him a -3. And Dan goes, well, I chose to wait.
You want to know something hysterical that you're never going to let me live down?
What?
I thought her name was Cottie.
Like C-O-T-T-I-E. Yeah, but it's Kate. It's Connie. It's spelled like, no, her name's Cottie. It is Cottie, but it's K-A-T-I. It's spelled like Katie, but it's Cottie.
So it is a T sound.
Yeah, it's Cottie.
I thought you just said Connie, and I was like, no way. No way.
This is so your look, Connie, baby. No. It's Connie.
Is that from Tell Me I'm Pretty?
Is that from Tell Me I'm Pretty? That's the show I wrote, the one woman show I wrote. I love it. Never mind. Okay, so Dan has his quote here that apparently he's like had tattooed on his body since he was a kid, which is sex is meaningful like art and you don't rush art. By the way, mom found out I got another tattoo.
Was it some big secret?
Well, she like asked, she was like, I saw Gibson got a tattoo. Did you get a tattoo? And I was like, I don't remember. And she was like, that's a yes. And I was like,
does she know about the other one?
Well, she knew I had an appointment, but we didn't talk about it. But then she was like, what did you get? And I was like, I don't know if I got one. She's like, just tell me.
Caroline's such a bad girl, guys.
I got a crescent moon. And she was like, where did you get it? And I was like, I don't, you'll see it eventually. She's like, just tell me. I was like, my forearm.
I love New York tattoo over my boob.
On my boob. But I do think it's cute.
It is.
Anyway, mom's like, I don't have to like it. You can still tell me. I don't have to like it. I was like, okay. Well then, okay. Anywho, so Dan then wakes up to his dad repeatedly asking Allison, this is the phone call. He's like, did you sleep with someone? Did you sleep with someone? And she hangs up on him and he didn't realize Dan was home. My question for you, Rufus, is why are you home all the time? You know what I mean? Like, go to work. Okay?
Maybe the gallery's at the base.
You're a single dad in Brooklyn. Go to work. What?
Maybe the gallery is like at in the ground level of the loft building.
I sure hope it is. I literally hope it is. And I hope that there is a open staircase down there so we can hear if a customer walks in. I hope. Anyway, so then Jenny walks in and overhears the conversation where Dan's like, well, mom's obviously having an affair, but no one knows that Jenny saw.
Pulls no punches.
Yeah, like, chill. Dan's like, I don't have time to care about this. I got to go lose my virginity. Like,
Nate and Dan are kind of similar in that way. They're like, Dad, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear.
Yeah, they're like, who's the
dad?
Dad,
you're addicted to drugs.
They say, Dad, who's
dad? Dad, you're having an affair.
Yeah, Dad, mom's having an affair. They say to Dad, who's your daddy? They're like, who wears the pants here? Me. It's just like you said, Nate, at the end of the day, needs to remember that he's 16 years old, but he can't because he's the father. He's the father figure. So, by the way, Nate's dad blew him off. Great. That's going to go over that, great like, kind with of, good guy Nate.
That broke my heart a little bit.
It broke my heart.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, you guys, we're all seeing it. The new year, new you propaganda. And let me just be the one to tell you, 2026 does not require a new you. But a less burdened you would probably be nice. And I believe everyone deserves that. And I also believe that therapy can really help you get there. And if you have listened to this podcast for even 1 minute, then you probably know that I'm a massive advocate for therapy. It has helped me a lot for a really long time. The concept of a new year was literally petrifying to me. I didn't want to think about any goals. I didn't want to discuss them. I didn't want to make a vision board or write anything down because then if I didn't achieve them, to me, it felt like I was a total failure. And that was really scary to me. I had a lot of fear of the unknown. I was plagued with self-doubt and felt this immense pressure. And all of these things together just honestly made me want to shut down. And to tell you the truth, I still feel all of those feelings, but I now know that I can get through these. These are not insurmountable feelings anymore, and therapy has been the biggest game changer when it comes to just how I move through life feeling these tough emotions. With therapy, I'm really able to understand why these fears are so paralyzing and where they're coming from, and then how to work with them instead of running from them. And just knowing that I've got a weekly standing appointment with somebody who is going to offer me this unbiased perspective, help me to see things more clearly, help me to understand my emotions and what's going on, and also just to kind of help me pick up the pieces when things inevitably fall apart. Because I don't know what 2026 is going to bring, but girl, what I do know is there are going to be some rough patches. There are going to be bad days, but I also know that I am strong enough to get through them. Nothing is insurmountable, and I have got an amazing support system to back me up. I want the same thing for you. So in 2026, I want you to reframe therapy as self-care. It is a gift that you can give to yourself, and you deserve it, and BetterHelp can help make it really, really easy. They've got quality therapists. They work according to a strict code of conduct. They're fully licensed in the U.S., and one of my favorite things about BetterHelp is they have a therapist match commitment. So they're going to do the initial matching work for you so you can just focus on your therapy goals. They will send you a short questionnaire that helps to identify your needs and preferences. And then they're going to use their 12 plus years of experience and industry leading match fulfillment rate, meaning they typically get it right the first time. And they're going to find you someone who is hopefully a total match. And if it isn't, you can switch to a different therapist at literally any time. They are one of the world's largest online therapy platforms. BetterHelp has served over 5 million people globally, and it really works. They have an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, and that's based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Guys, that's a lot. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
Nate's the fact that Nate would even show up for his dad at this point, like, I would be like, hey, I'm holding you off and I'm not answering your calls, and screw you, dad. Screw you, papa. I'm not calling you captain anymore. Fuck you. Fuck you, Artie. What's his fucking name? Fuck you, Howie.
I like Howie, the concept that his name is Artie Archibald. Like Archie Andrews.
Wait, Kelly and I were like, because you know Phoebe did our Glee Sun Moon Rising, and Phoebe, Kelly and I were talking, and she was like, what's Phoebe's? And I was like, I don't know. And we were talking about it, and I was like, unfortunately, like, Artie is in there. And Kelly goes, I was gonna say this.
What? How?
Phoebe, if you have to ask.
And which one?
I'm just kidding. I don't remember right now. We were talking IRL. We were just like laughing.
That just pissed me off.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on, I'm feeling something weird. Oh yeah, that just pissed me off. Phoebe's eye, like little shifty eyes going back and forth. That just pissed me off. Sorry, I didn't know that would piss you off. What's so offensive? Explain it to me. Make it make sense. I didn't say you're puck. Could have.
What, oh my enough? God.
I mean, I'm just saying that I could have said it. It wouldn't have been true. I just could have said whatever I wanted. Because anyone can at any time. Don't forget that. Anyone can say anything they want at any time, and you can trust me for it.
I know.
Sheesh. Okay, anyway. So Nate's dad has a client in crisis, and Nate's like, yeah, freaking right. I'm on to you, old man. And
how did he know where he was?
Well, I think allegedly he's at work.
Oh. So Nate finds him, yeah. And then he sees his dad like kind of leave to go somewhere else. And conveniently, this staircase, this balcony landing that Nate is on, can see every angle. It's like a secure. It's like a, you know, what do they call that thing? And like, you know, it's an illustration of a prison that's like a tower, and then there's the thing in the middle that's looking around.
I mean, what a picture you painted. I don't know.
He would. I'm gonna find it, but anyway, it's almost like he's on that thing, and he looks down, and he sees his dad doing the freaking.
Almost like, hey, Cap, maybe
can
you
we do
should
it a little more discreetly.
Yeah, you're. It's like when they say that people are like trying to get caught and they're crying out for help, and you're like, no, I'm not. Like I remember like when I got caught for smoking pot, mom was like, well, you wanted to get caught. You were crying out for help. I was like, girl, no, I didn't. Let me tell you, no, I didn't want to get caught. And I also didn't get caught, I confessed.
A panopticon is what it's called.
An insane word.
There's an illustration of it somewhere.
Anyway, while you're finding that, I'll keep going. So Chuck is now at his club feeding cherries to Dancer so they can tie the stem with their tongue. And he's like going to kiss her. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Put it on our story. Anyway.
I'm going to put it
on right now.
Bart walks
in. Bart's like, Bart's pissed off because he's like, you want me, like, you're about to like touch tongues with this woman here who just tied a cherry stem with her tongue. And you want me to pour thousands of dollars into this so you can just like get drunk and have sex. And Chuck's like, no. Like, read the proposal. Bart won't even do it. And he goes outside and we see him meet a woman. And like, regardless of what he says later, I'm sorry, Bart is touching this woman inappropriately.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He's touching her butt. I don't believe you guys didn't make out on the way to lunch. Like, this might be a business partner, but that doesn't mean she's not also a sexual partner. Bart Bass, you know? And Chuck is furious. So we go to the Waldorf mansion and Eleanor is picking out outfits for Blair to wear to dinner tonight. And she mentions the Vanderbilt ring and that, like, they're going to give it to Blair. And Blair is now under the impression, unfortunately, that Nate has expressed interest in proposing to Blair, to his mother. They're, again, 16 years old. And this is, like, one of the meanest things you could do to Blair Waldorf at this point because, it's just so hard
to
watch.
So sad. And so we go to the Humphrey loft, and Serena and Dan have the place to them freaking selves. And Dan kind of wants to slow it down, but Serena...
The fact that it's morning, by the way.
I know. I didn't like that.
What? What?
Dan is like, Serena wants to get him alone so badly that Dan texts her at 6 a.m. and is like, I have the house to myself.
I mean, earlier, she had to get down to Brooklyn. I'm like... and they're gonna... it's great. She's like, 20 minutes is plenty. And I'm like, this is a moment where I'm like, Serena... Like, 20 minutes might be plenty once you're in a relationship with somebody and you're just, like, having fun sex. But, like, for your first time together, why are you trying to... Like, and it's, like, again, what you said, Phoebe, you're so smart. And that made me think of... We played a Jeopardy that was Gibson-themed, and one of the categories was, here are pictures of statuses that Gibson made on Facebook throughout the years. Guess what year they were posted. And one of them was, like, be the change you want to see in the world. Heart, Gandhi. This guy rocks.
That is out of girls.
It was so... No, and this next one is even better. Ready? On September 11th, like 2008 or something, she goes, like, pray for all those lost and left behind on 9/11. Excited for the movies tonight. Exclamation point.
Not even two separate.
God. We were laughing
a morning remembrance post and then evening
God,
going
it was
to the movies.
So funny.
My fucking
Gibson
God.
Was excited to hear us talk about the Bachelorette on the pod before it happened. Hopefully, she's
that
like,
is
anecdotes
that is
in here.
Top five Hall of Fame Facebook
How
posts.
Fucking funny
and by
is
the
that?
Way, Caroline Asher is online is still number one.
And well, you want to know what number two is? It's when Addie Brown or Hirschfelder, whichever you prefer. I prefer Brown, obviously. It's when Addie Brown wrote on her story, she wrote three statuses on Monday. The first one was like, the cast list comes out today. So excited. The next status was like, so nervous. Or no, sorry. It was, you know, because it used to say is. So it was like, Addie is so excited for the cast list to come out today. And then it was like 4 hours later, Addie is so nervous but excited for the cast list coming out today. And then Addie a few hours later, Addie is bummed, period. It's so funny. Is bummed. And all of them have like emoticons too, like they're all is so excited, is bummed.
Everybody talks about how the internet, like, we've become way too transparent on the internet. Like, social media has gotten to a new level
what
of transparency.
Gift,
and that's kind of true. However, there was nothing like the radical transparency of early Instagram and early Facebook.
I know. And I just watched The Social Network and I was like, God, the movie I watched on the plane, it's so fucking good. Sorry, my Prada's at the cleaners.
Maybe I'll watch
my
that
hoodie,
tonight.
My fuck you flip flops.
I watched, but Southern Charm is on tonight. Torture myself with Sally or watch The Social Network.
I mean, I gotta see Sally tell Craig she likes him and get shut down. So
that happened last week.
Did you see Paige comment? No, it was just the preview.
No, it happened last week in the chicken store.
I think that was just at the very end of the episode as a preview.
No, because they fight about it later.
Oh my God, am I missing an episode?
I think you might be. Did you watch Madison Sleepover?
No.
When Austin comes to the house after going out with Craig and tells Sally everything Craig said about her.
Oh God.
Including, that was what Madison said basically in that exact accent.
Oh my God. Austin said,
basically Craig just said like, you're a tornado.
Wow, I gotta see. Oh, I'll be watching that. I mean, Caroline's
so positive. I'm pretending I've seen into the future.
No. I'm like, you don't get screeners of Bravo shows. Stop acting like you do. Anyway, back to we're avoiding talking about what's about to happen. We're avoiding what's about to happen in this scene because we just don't want to acknowledge the truth of it. But the truth of it is, knock, 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 just kidding.
If you're this friend...
Fall out the window. If I'm this friend and I open the window and I see you about to get it on and it's 8 a.m., I'm ducking, rolling, falling off the fire escape onto the New York street, getting stuck in some gum. Like, that's what I'm doing. Because I'm definitely not walking in and
coming
saying,
in.
Leave. No, you leave. Huh? I couldn't believe my eyes.
No, sorry. Window opens, my God, Vanessa. Covering my eyes.
Vanessa, I don't believe you didn't see them in there before you climbed into the building.
I think there were at least three Mississippis of Vanessa on the fire escape watching them make out.
Wait, you counted?
I'm just thinking if I'm going to the scary, dark, terrible, annoying place that is Vanessa's mind.
Yeah.
I'm waiting three Mississippis and just, yes. I'm like, Dan should sense that I'm out here.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. And
no,
I'm also
I'm not saying that in a common sense way. I'm saying she waited three Mississippis and then still decided to go in.
Oh, to go in.
Because in my mind, I'm immediately like, sense.
Okay, yeah.
That she was out there and they have such a bond.
Yeah. She practically comes in and like jumps in the bed, gives him a noogie. Like, it's too much, girl. I wrote, girl, leave. Why are you just standing? She's just standing in there and Serena's on the ground.
On the floor.
Fallen off the bed. On the floor. And she's like, hey. And Vanessa's like, hi. So what's up? Like, what are we doing in here? Girl, get the fuck out. And then Dan says to her, you really need to start using that door. She goes, which you're showing me to. As though she's surprised by this. As though that's not the obvious. Guys, I mean, you're lucky I'm not pushing you back out the window you came from, girl.
And if you think that that's as crazy as things get.
Oh, it gets worse.
Dan shuts the door and then goes back in to continue, hopefully, fucking Serena.
Oh my God, and peeping Vanessa, Tom Vanessa.
And Vanessa
says, I have a key, bitch. She goes, that sign can't stop me because I can't read and I have a fucking key. Yeah, I made a key. I said, okay, Jenny, in exchange for me getting you in through the back door of this ballroom, you're making me a key to your freaking house, but I'm still going to use the fire escape because I want access anytime I want because Dan shouldn't be having sex with girls in there because someone needs to keep an eye on that boy, you know? And anyway, right, so Vanessa opens the door and like watches.
It's,
Couldn't believe my eyes when she opened the door again. I was like, girl, you got some nerve. I got nerve.
And then Dan and Serena do like start kissing again and everything. And then Rufus hears voice.
And this grating voice. Who wants breakfast? I was like, breakfast? I thought this was an afternoon delight. I couldn't believe it was breakfast time. Okay, Chuck's wasted.
In the morning time.
Gossip Girl says Chuck Bass drunk off his ass and he's calling Nate, leaving a voicemail. He's like, all right, whatever. Dad didn't go for Victrola, but I'm still throwing the party because I already like rented it out tonight. And then he drops his key down the grate and Lily like watches all this happen.
What? Falls right next to the grate.
Okay, good.
And that's when Lily comes to get him. And I completely missed my other Tell Me Lies mention. It was when Chuck sees Bart and the girl, he gets that look in his eye that Steven gets when he learns new information that he can use against other people.
When he gets the most frightening idea you could ever think of, and in fact, your brain couldn't think of it. I'm surprised. They need to be honest. Elizabeth Finchie must be writing for this show. How else are they coming up with this?
Hey, guys, they need to be honest.
I'm like, how could they make, like, anybody on earth... Because there are these nasty people out there who say that emotional abuse isn't real abuse. And I will say, like, I 100% think Steven, like, I consider Steven to also be, like, basically a rapist. I think that if you are having sex with somebody under false pretenses, mm-hmm. then, like, you don't have consent to have sex with that person. And that should be considered assault. Like, if I'm telling you that I'm only having sex with you so we don't have to use a condom and mm-hmm. I don't blah, 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 and I'm doing what Steven's doing, like, all that, I'm just like, that's so... And then
one of them ends up pregnant?
I know. I'm like, guys, it's just spoilers, so, like, spoilers despicable.
For telling lies.
Yeah, sorry. But... The like you need to watch the show. If you don't think that emotional abuse is real abuse, watch this fucking show. Because I mean, how scary is Steven? Like, he's like, it's just like, and we just know he's the forever villain. There is literally no coming back from it. Like,
especially because it's not like when we go to 2015, he's different.
No,
he's the same
guy. And that's
what
was so epic about season 3, episode 4, by the way, when Lucy's like, I am fine because I know you didn't change for her. So Chuck is saying in the scene to Lily that Bart is screwing 25-year-olds and he's supposed to be committed to you. And Lily's like, oh, well, don't worry. Like, we just, you know, decided to be exclusive a week ago. And Chuck's like, okay, so explain this afternoon. And Lily just is like, how could I be surprised? So Nate's going to talk to his mom. She's about to go get her hair blown out for the dinner tonight. And he's like, listen, the drugs are dad's. And I actually saw him buying more. And Ann Archibald just doesn't believe him. Doesn't want to believe him.
Yeah, I think it's more that. And I think it's a pretty... Obviously, it's only been 7 episodes. But I think it's a change for her, for mm-hmm. the audience. Like, I don't think that's what people were expecting from her.
No. She's like, well... I mean, he's been under a lot of pressure and your latest rebellions have been really hard on him. What rebellions?
You know, not to bring it back to Tell Me Lies again, but that's kind of giving Mrs. DeMarco.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Where it's like, it's not quite as bad, but it always, it like, everything is to come back to the faults of someone else that isn't the person that she wants to praise at that moment.
So anyway, they decided not to talk about this right now. All right, another insane scene. Another scene that's literally giving me cotton mouth trying to talk about it.
Dan is watching porn.
On a DVD. At first I was like, she should. I was like, how is she going to figure out that you're watching porn? Just shut your computer. Oh, it's because the DVD is out on the
bed. Well, here's what I thought was going to happen. I have two things to say. One, it's actually so much more embarrassing and mortifying than it being porn on a DVD. I think it is genuinely like a... In Dan's eyes, I think it's like a French film where like they are having real sex, but there's like a plot to it, you know?
That's a little bit
more avant-garde and artsy. Anyway, the other thing I was going to say is I thought that Dan was going to close this computer. Vanessa was going to come in and she makes herself real comfortable in the bed that she's Serena like and Dan were making out on. Wouldn't practice, literally.
You can practice on me, Dan. But if you fall in love with me, I can't be responsible for that. Be responsible for what happens if you inevitably fall in love with me.
I thought Vanessa was going to pick up his notepad and be like, what the fuck are you taking notes on? Yeah. Instead of that, she picks up the notebook.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're watching porn. He's like, it's art cinema.
Or the DVD.
And this is when we get the quote again, because Vanessa's like, well, you always used to say that sex is meaningful, like art, and like what's changed? And he was like, well, there wasn't a girl who wanted to have sex with me, which I think stings Vanessa a little bit. And she's like, you're going to lose your virginity. And then she immediately starts slut-shaming Serena. She goes, oh, well, I'm sure Serena knows what her vast experiences too. With boarding school professors, Pamplonian bullfighters, best friends, boyfriends. I'm like, okay, tell me how you really feel, Vanessa.
And it's just like this isn't Vanessa.
Immediate slut shaming.
Yeah, and I know that you're that old friend.
You literally have a feminism tattoo. What
you're like
this?
That meme that's like you're that one friend who's too woke.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Vanessa.
And then the thing that makes the people who say that they, you know, believe women and then they're like, but when the opportunity actually presents itself, I'm not going to. This is so vague.
I know. It just makes me nervous because it's legal stuff. It's just like there's that person that it's the virtue signaling. That's what Vanessa is. And then when it actually become when she would have to practically use her feminist beliefs in a situation where it's hard to champion a woman, even in a small way, she can't do it. It's not
giving,
really
say
she
it
is.
With me. 1, 2, 3. Aria Montgomery.
Yeah.
Like this is actually a very Aria moment of her.
I was going to say, actually, you're absolutely right. I'm 100% right. I'm in a defending woman mood, I guess.
Yeah, but Arya's not. Arya never is.
I can think of like a couple. Obviously, the couple scenes where she truly does do this kind of thing, but I do think Arya is more earnest than Vanessa is.
I do too. I mean, I think Arya is more likable to me than Vanessa because Arya is not as like
Arya is not a guy's
girl.
Some of
the stuff Vanessa does is like genuinely like black and white, wrong, evil, mean thing to do, and like not motivated by anything other than I want to hurt you, you know? Whereas like a lot of the things that Arya does are like, I just am not thinking about you. Like I'm only thinking about me.
That's true.
It's a little bit more careless. Not that that's like always easier to forgive, but when it's like a super intentional, nasty thing, it's like, okay, what the fuck are you capable? Like you're, but again, I mean, that's suburbs versus the city for you.
It's doggy dog out here.
It's doggy dog out here. Anyway, so Vanessa's like, let me give you some tips. Number one, hide Cedric. Number two, maybe get some candles. And number three,
it is so important how she leads this off. She says, but if it were me.
Okay, Vanessa. She's like, and you know, that option's still on the table.
You know what I thought she was gonna say?
I'm not a virgin.
What I thought she was gonna say, except later she makes a comment about how, well, how would I know about, she makes that she says exactly that to Jenny. But what I thought she was going to say is, but if it were me, Dan, I wouldn't care about all this stuff.
I just want you. Yes, that is what she would say. Restraint. I just exercise. But it is like a crazy. And I will also say, why is Dan low-key like, okay, got a chubby. She says that like.
Caroline is obsessed.
Whatever. Dan, like she says, if it were with me, and Dan's like, whoa. That was an option. Like his face literally like lights up. Anyway, the fact that Dan has football sheets is a shock to me.
I agree, but it's
I can't believe he's ever watched a football game.
These have been the sheets he's had since he was a kid, maybe.
I guess so. Yeah.
And he's like, no, Dad, it's not sustainable to keep buying new sheets. These work just fine. We go to the Waldorf, and Jenny's up there. And Blair is telling Jenny that she paid for the bracelet, but don't make a fucking mistake again, bitch.
She goes, game recognizes game, little Jay. He's like, okay, never heard that line like that. It hit me like a ton of freaking bricks.
I like
never
the
heard
concept
it before. Loved it.
That like Blair may have heard that in like a movie she watched, which makes me then like the concept of Blair going home after school and like being alone and like picking out a movie to watch.
Which we know famously she does. We're going to get a lot of scenes of Blair putting on a movie because she loves to watch movies. But game recognizes game, little Jay, but you have to show more respect is amazing.
Guys, that's going to end up in the recap picks for
100% so good. So she's like, I'm not helping you again, so don't fuck up. And she's like, and if I can really trust you, I've got to tell you a secret. And I just really realized, like, Blair, she just wants to be someone's number one. You know, she wants, just like Chuck, she wants somebody to see her and somebody to like be excited by what she has to say and not be looking for the next best option. And right now, that's what she has with Jenny. Jenny looks at her like, you know, an opportunity, a mentor, whatever, which is exactly what Blair wants. And as long as Serena's around, she can't have it. And it's like, she's never had in any aspect of her life, her boyfriend, her mother, her friends, like they would all rather be with Serena. And so it's like, no wonder she likes Jenny and this, and like she's like giving her so many chances. No wonder she has like her minions, but also no wonder she likes Chuck, because they're both like fulfill that for each other. Like there isn't another person that's got Chuck's attention more than Blair. Yeah. Like, you know,
exactly. And so then oh my goodness, Jenny starts to act weird,
and Blair is like giddy, by the way. Blair is walking on it.
And I'm just a little bit like, Jenny, we couldn't.
Jenny didn't have to say everything she said. Okay. She didn't have to say everything because Blair's like swooning. She's like, oh, my God, let me tell you. Okay, fine. They're going to give me the Vanderbilt diamond. Like, it's crazy. I can't believe it. I always knew I'd spend my whole life with him. Turns out he feels the same way. And Jenny's like, Blair, I have to tell you something. And
well, first she makes all those noises and expects Blair to be like, okay, that's it. Here you go.
Blair's like, what? And she's like, it's just like family stuff. And Blair's like, No. Are you jealous? Do you like him? And she's like, I love that you like him. I love that you would be jealous of something that I have. Like, and I'm so secure. He's going to give me the family ring. And Jenny says, I don't want to hurt you. And Blair goes, how could you hurt me? So good. And then guess what she does? Exactly that. Oh, and it's like, God. Blair, this should have been your warning for what's to come.
Why'd she do that?
How could little Jay hurt you? Oh, in many ways. In more ways than one. Jenny says, Nate's not over Serena. Blair says, why would he tell you? He's like, she's like, well, I was wearing the mask and he thought I was her.
I was cosplaying as her, Blair. That's why.
I was cosplaying as her. Exactly. I'm a Nick girl, so I was wearing yellow, of course. Here's the thing. You didn't have to say he kissed me. You could have just been like, he said this. You just made it so much fucking worse. Like,
and now you're in trouble also.
You wanted her to know, slut? Just kidding. I'm not. I'm slut shaming little Jay.
Wow. Won't be the last time.
And then we see Blair and her eyes are welling up with tears. And she's like, that's enough. You're dismissed for good. Mm-hmm. And it's a great acting moment, of course.
So then
this next scene is so good.
It's nighttime.
Things are heating up. What? I said this next scene is so good.
Oh, I know, but I feel like, is it the dinner?
Blair's dressed for dinner.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's just, no, just really Blair is just so good. She's dressed for dinner. By the way, why is she wearing yellow eyeshadow? Hate it. Hate the look. Gotta say. Hate the look.
I didn't mind the outfit so much, but I feel like the lip didn't match.
Hair, lip, eyeshadow. Yikes.
Weird.
Yeah, big yikes. She is listening to the Archibalds get there, like schmoozing, and she just looks like dead in the face. I wrote, I'm scared of Blair right now. What she's gonna do? She's like descending the steps. I'm like,
give me a fucking tornado.
Like, whatever's about to happen is just not gonna be good. And Blair is literally just standing there making these like goofy fucking eyes. Everything Nate says, she's like rolling her eyes around.
You know, is there anything on your mind? She's like,
no. What?
You know who you look like when you just said that?
Are you gonna hurt my feelings really bad?
I hope not when I say this.
Me too.
Kelly.
Aw, Kel.
That is you like whenever Kelly like jokes around and has to roll her eyes when she's like telling us. Yes, exactly.
True. I know. I can see it in my head. It's so much cuter when she does it. He asks if there's anything on her mind. She says, no. Is there anything you want to tell me? And he's like, no. And his mind goes back to the Shepherd wedding, which now includes Dan, who is watching and taking notes.
And now it's also taking place in, you guessed it, Rufus's kitchen.
It's a little much for me, if you ask. And Dan is like, okay, the hair, the like, leg, blah, blah, blah.
I think this is when the show was still kind of figuring out what it was.
I think I would be right there with you. We got a lot of these. I mean, yeah. Dan, okay.
Just kind of anyway. Weird. Don't
Dan,
work
thank
me.
God, is broken from his daydream by Rufus. Thank God.
Wait, no. My least favorite part of this whole daydream is when... It's not a date. He's fully asleep, by the way, reading what's it called?
Sensuous massages. And Rufus does see it, yes.
Oh, we already... For a second, I thought that he was still asleep. Anyway, when Nate pulls the hair of Serena and Dan goes, oh my God, like, does that really work? And then Nate pulls away and is like, yeah, every time. It's so mortifying, this whole scene. I can't stand it.
No, it is. And then like how aggressively Serena and Nate, like, go, it's giving the Hermione and Ron kiss and the Hermione and Harry kiss and the Horcrux. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh my God.
So gross, Rufus is like, all right, well, I'm about to go away for 24 hours to a 24-hour art installation with your sister and Vanessa. Do you want to come? And Dan's like, hell no, you're finally going to be out of the house and I got to freaking get it on. I got to get it on, Dad. And Rufus is like, should we have the talk? And Dan's like, heck no, old man.
And he's like, well, what about this talk? Get rid of Cedric. Get rid of the football sheets.
The football sheets. He's like, you don't want her to ask about your football career. And then you have to tell her that you could never play it. You could never even hold it in your hand. Your hands are too small and dainty. Anyway, so Johnny and Vanessa are cleaning in the gallery. Vanessa literally on cloud nine because Jenny told Blair something that was going to break up her and Nate because she's hoping that Nate and Serena will now get back
together. This is where she says the thing about the relationships. Jenny says something and Vanessa's like, I don't remember exactly what she says before, but she's like,
I don't know how I would ever get over it if I loved someone and they betrayed me.
And then Vanessa says something to explain that. And then she goes, not that I would know. I've never been in a relationship. And imagine me and Jenny knowing that Vanessa just told your older brother last week that you're in love with him and like it didn't go well, and now Vanessa's lamenting to Jenny about how she's never like just Jenny who's sneaking like, it into conversations. My parents are getting
divorced. Like Jenny's like genuinely like and Vanessa's having like, well, a stressed I couldn't out even moment, get and Vanessa's if I like tried. Created an issue in her own life, and Jenny's like, I need my big sister, and Vanessa's like, no, I'm gonna be selfish and talk about myself instead. Like it's just like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're at the Waldorf. Holy shit.
He's coked out.
Is your skin not just like crawling?
It's so embarrassing. Bugs?
The captain is throwing glasses of wine, champagne, anything he can get his hands on. He's like grabbing other people's drinks. He's like, Eleanor, we got another bottle? Oh my God, I would like to fall through the floor.
And then he's like, Blair, you have to try on the ring. You have to.
Try it on. And everyone's like, no. He's like, yes, you must. It's so crazy. Blair does. And then she like gives it back. And then Nate's like, hey, dad, like, let's go smoke those cigars, and saves the day by kind of getting him out of there. Mm-hmm. We go to then Chuck's club for a minute. Mm-hmm. None of and his he's friends just, are there.
He's oh, it does, oh. Like, know. Also, because like people are there and he did rent out the place. So these like, yes. But nobody he cares about is there.
No. He's completely alone, just like getting fucked up on the couch, watching the burlesque show. And believe it or not, his dad shows up, and I wrote Bart and his girlfriend show up thinking that it was going to be his girlfriend. But we find out the girl that we had seen him with earlier, her name is Pauletta, and she was apparently interviewing him and took him to lunch so that he could advise her on a career change, and that she like looked over Chuck's proposal and was really into it and like want and like changed Bart's mind. And I'm just like, again, Chuck's immediately feeling so guilty because of what he told Lily. But I'm like, dude, you don't have to like I still would have wanted to know if I was Lily. Like, that's still not.
Yeah,
I don't believe nothing else happened. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And so then we go back to the Waldorf, and Nate's outside. Now they're like down in front of the building. Nate's telling the captain, like, you have a problem, buddy. You have a problem. And then they get into like a big fight. And Mr. Archibald says, I'm the adult. You're the kid. And they kind of like really get into it. And then the captain punches him in the face so hard that Nate falls to the ground. And the cops see it.
Literally. Like, Nate, like, grabs his dad's arm because the captain's trying to go back inside. And Nate's like, no fucking way. Like, you cannot. And he grabs his arm and he's like, let go of me. And that's when he turns around. And it's just like, and you just immediately, it's like this sobering moment immediately for the captain. Like, he's like, what the fuck? And you have to imagine finding out, well, we find out that his life is just flashing before his eyes. Like, he's like,
especially not only with the police.
Did I just have a moment where I just, yeah, like, I just hit my kid, which is like, such a low. It's such a low.
You know,
it's not like a normal hit. It's like I punched him. There were people around.
And
now
it's
the
highlighting
police are here.
This thing that I'm clearly trying to pretend doesn't exist. My addiction.
Exactly. Because not only am I fucked up and that's why I'm doing it, but also I'm trying to like defend against the fact that I am addicted. And then knowing that he's got the embezzlement going on as well. So when he sees the cops, it's like imagining all that just flashing before his eyes. Like, as well as the fact that, like, Ann Archibald is the one with the money. So you know that he's always probably felt a little bit inferior. You know what I mean? So it's just, like, a perfect storm of shit. And, like, everyone is just going to hate him.
But even though, as the captain said, Nate might be the kid, he is always protecting his dad. He goes over to the doorman and pays him off.
Well, first he tells the cops. He says, his dad's like, come on, like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah, yeah. And Nate looks at the cops and he says to his dad, he's like, I'm sorry, dad, but you need help. Make sure to check his pockets, too. And it's like, God, what an insane moment. But it's like in Shameless when the kids have like got to get Frank Gallagher in jail or something. It's like at this point, this really like this is rock bottom. If not, then I don't know what is. We don't need to find out. Like, but you can't keep jeopardizing the family and yourself and everything. Like, this is the only way to help you. And so, it's sort of like, honestly, on the Salt Lake reunion when Mary was like, for once I can sleep. I'm not worried about my son. He's in jail, but I know that like, I know where he is. I know he's not using, hopefully, you know, she's like, I, that's the place that he needs to be. And it's like that at a certain point in an addict's journey, you know, it becomes like,
well, it's, I'm watching Breaking Bad right now. And it's like Jesse Pinkman. It's like his parents, they want to be there for him, but they can't, especially with him having a younger brother. It's like,
it's like, you can be here if you want to be clean, but if not, like, we can't, you know, at a certain point, like, that is the love. It's like, we're going to give you no other option. Like, maybe you need to hit rock bottom so you get to a place where you can accept help because there is no other choice. Like, that's it. But yeah. It's, I mean, I can't imagine a more heartbreaking thing. And now for it to, like, so often we see it with parents feeling that way about their kids.
But for it to be the
to
kid.
To see it reverse. And to see that totally. Nate's completely alone. Like, it's like, you know, and he doesn't even really
so
have Blair
denial.
Because his mom is, yeah. So, like, he's just got to handle this on his own. It's really just so sad. And we end up seeing that. So, yeah, Nate, as Phoebe said, gives the doorman money and is like, my father went home sick. And we see that Blair had been watching from the window.
Mm-hmm. You can't pay everyone off. So we go back to Victrola, and Bart is going to go find Lily, go get the girl, and tells
like
Chuck to set.
He's like mad for 1 second at Chuck.
And then he's like, you know what?
He's like, you know what? I did do that. He's like, okay, fair.
And he tells Chuck to set a meeting with Pauletta.
Yes. So Blair comes outside. By the way, Nate wasn't going to go back in and like say anything to anybody. He was just going to leave and go to Victrola. It's crazy. So Blair comes out. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, well, I'm going to go to Victrola. And she's like, well, I actually saw everything. Like, why didn't you tell me? And I'm just like, I'm sorry. I love you, good guy, Nate. And I'm proud of you for what you just did. But you're not about to gaslight Blair by saying, well, every time I try to talk to you, like something else has your attention, like mm-hmm. a party. It's like, just because you think she doesn't know what you did at that masquerade ball, like, doesn't mm-hmm. mean you didn't do it. Even if exactly. she never found out. It's like, you have some nerve, my guy.
Right, 100%. And so, she says, you need to go deal with your father. He needs you. And I don't. And she takes Nate's car
and, you know,
and goes to Victrola.
I don't. Yes. It's so good. Okay, so we see that Dan has been making Serena wait outside of his bedroom while he preps it. I'm like, this should have already been done.
No, he was so worried about fire.
Oh, you're right. He was lighting a bunch of candles, I guess. Also, here's a tip. If you're planning on losing your virginity, you don't need to light a million candles. Do you know how hot it probably was in that fucking room?
Imagine.
With all those candles. And, like, one of them is gonna fall over.
This is a different thing, but I'm like, imagine Serena saw Vanessa come through the fire escape. And so for this evening, she decides to do the same. Come up through the fire escape and knock on Dan's window. And just to keep the ball rolling, Dan jumps in fear like they jumped this morning. He knocks over one of the candles and it's a domino effect. And now the whole loft is in flames.
The poverty loft is up in flames.
And now Serena's like, well, it's a good thing I'm out on the fire escape.
There goes Brooklyn. And then we
there
never saw
Brooklyn
again.
Going down
and
swinging.
We're like, bye-bye, Brooklyn. You know what I mean? We're like, you guys don't remember Brooklyn? This show is dated, but Brooklyn, yeah, used to be a thing until Dan Humphrey burnt it over.
Until
Dan Humphrey burnt it over. So anyway,
Serena's thrilled, and then we go back to Victrola, and Blair shows up in Nate's car, and Chuck's like, what the fuck?
Where's my boy? Where's Nate? Where's my dude? He's supposed to be here with the coke he stole from his dad. Where's Nate? And Blair's like, we broke up. I don't want to talk about it. I want to escape. And we get that first scene we got in the beginning of the show.
And then
we get that.
Hannah Marin walks out in Coco Chanel sunglasses.
How much? I just would have loved it if she's like, they're all options. And then, you know what I mean? I just would have loved to see that. Like, nice glasses, Han. Anyway.
Dude, they would have been friends.
Hannah and Blair.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think, I mean, honestly, they have more in common than they would care
for
to
sure.
admit.
But I think
and
Hannah's
I think
a
yes, because
nice.
Mona and Hannah. I mean, Mona is
well,
just Blair's
true.
Evil
She's
twin.
Blair. That's
you
true.
Know what I mean?
Don't
Mona's
bring up
Blair who
twin.
Grew up in the suburbs without the money and without the like.
But not without no money. Let's be clear.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, came from somewhere. Well, also, how does she fund the whole? Anyway, okay,
of course.
So this is so funny. Blair and Chuck are sitting there watching the burlesque show. And Chuck's asking again about Nate, and she cuts him off, and she goes, you know, I got moves.
And Caroline, what is that giving the energy of? What is that giving the energy of?
I don't know. What?
What? I can actually do the wave.
What? I can actually do the wave. It's exactly the same energy. Nail
you know
it
I got moves.
Phoebe, you are killing it.
That's low-key me. That's low. That
it's
is low-key
so
little
funny.
Phoebe.
I'm like, it's so not something I expect Blair Waldorf to say, but I guess that's the point. Who is she? I don't know.
And you know, one of the heartbreaking lines is Chuck is like, how do you feel? And she's like, relief. I feel relief.
Yes. And he goes, well, get up there. You know, you're 10 times hotter than any of those girls. Which I'm like, he's saying the things to Blair that no one's ever said to her. And that also he means, like, that's the mm-hmm. difference between him talking to everybody else. Like, he means it when he says it to her. And she ends up kind of taking it as a dare. She's like, you don't think I'll go? And she goes, watch my drink. I'm like, not the guy I'm asking to watch my drink, but okay. And she gets up there and starts dancing. And it is actually major shocking for
it's me giving to watch
Blair do this.
Dark Betty.
Oh, it's 100%. It's giving Dark Betty. Yes. And we have one of the patrons comes up to Chuck and goes, who's that girl? And Chuck goes, I have no idea. And they go, you go, baby vamp. And then Blair got a tramp stamp of baby vamp. Anyway, Chuck's on cloud nine and Blair is like loving, like feeling seen and admired like that. I just feel like she doesn't get to feel like this very often. And it's just... I don't know.
I mean, we're seeing Good Girls Gone Bad, Leighton Meester vibes.
It's giving Good Girls Go Bad.
Not Blair Waldorf. So we go to the gallery and...
You're dangerous. Yeah, you're the guy, that guy. I'd be stupid to trust.
Lily comes to the gallery and has wine. And I'm just like, Lily,
chill.
If I wanted to
Lily get a
show up
challenge.
Like I'm just dropping by, I am not coming with a bottle of wine.
No, I'm not. And I'm also just like the booty call etiquette of, oh, I just found out I'm being cheated on. So I'm just like showing up here. Like,
and
you
Rufus
guys just
clocks it immediately. And then
immediately.
Like, he has a moment of wanting to hold his ground. And then he's like, you know what? Like, why don't you stay? He's
like, you
putting
know
this.
I'm kind of H-word. I'm kind of H-word.
He's putting this projection art installation that projects up onto the ceiling. And Lily says, still finding ways to get girls on their backs, I see.
Rufus is like, can you shut the fuck up, Lil?
It is.
Are you here because Bass dumped you again or what?
Another thing is like, Lily, if you want to sleep with him tonight, which the bottle of wine is indicating you do, why are you immediately
Because that's how she's, like that? She's flirting. And he's like, you know what? I'm trying to figure out my shit. You showing up here randomly and often isn't making that any easier. But if you want to stay, like, I feel bad. I've been rude. You can stay and see the installation. And she goes, I don't want to be in your way. And he says, since when, Vander Woodson? And it is like, and we're back in the game. And we're back. But I do have to say, when we do see this art installation, what's the difference between this and a night sky projector I can get for a baby nursery on Amazon?
Well, they probably made it with their hands.
Okay.
So we go to the Humphrey Loft and Elliot Smith is playing. Hey, Dan, I know this is probably Vanessa's recommendation. This isn't exactly the sex playlist most girls no. want to hear.
I mean, she's not Hannah Marin, for God's sake. She just...
One of my favorite things about Hannah.
I know. So the record starts skipping and he like throws something and...
Hey, by the way, not how that works.
Not how you should fix that. Well, he's in the moment. Like, he can't, he's like, nothing's going to ruin this moment. And they're just having this really romantic moment. They're like looking in each other's eyes. And he's like, I'm so happy to be here with you. And we just see this moment where it's like, she tells him she gets scared because no one's ever looked at her like that before. And like, she also is like, I wish I was still a virgin. And she says, no one's ever looked at me like you just did. In fact, I don't think they looked at me at all. Do you think I'm crazy? And they end up deciding not to have sex and just cuddle. And she's like, are you mad? And again, it's just like showing that like, any guy that would be mad at you for that, by the way, is not the one.
The wrong
like, not
guy.
Deserving of it. And it's like, she's so used to just probably acquiescing or whatever. Like, she's not being seen anyway. She's trying so desperately to be seen that mm-hmm. she's, you know, pulling out all the stops, having all the sex. And then it's like, she realizes that she doesn't even have to do that for somebody to really see her. And so it's like,
right.
I don't know. It's a sweet moment.
So we go back to the Archibald Manor and Nate's like, hey, Mom, where are you going? And she's like, jail.
Up for ice cream sundae. He literally is like, hey, Mom, you want to watch a movie or something? I'm making popcorn.
I bought stuff for banana splits.
I know I used to love them when I was a kid. She's like, Nate, get in the fucking car, okay? Your dad's got a $1 million bail, all right? We're not having ice cream sundaes. Jesus Christ.
And Nate's like, $1 million. He just punched his stupid kid in the face.
And had a little bit of drugs on him. Like, what's the big freaking deal? And she's like, well, it turns out he's got embezzlement and fraud and they've been building their case for a while. God, if I'm Nate, I do feel like shit. And this mom, like, oh, and I had the option to not make this a thing. But I also believe that like there's a reason the cops are right there. they might have been following him, like if they've been building their case for a while.
Yeah. I do like the concept of Caroline being like, talking about a scripted TV show. I mean, there's a reason. It's call it fate. There's a reason the cops were right there to see it happen.
And it has nothing to do with blocking or stage directions in a script. It doesn't. There's no direction.
Caroline, imagine Caroline is like working a set, but has no idea what's actually happening or really how a set functions. And she watches it happen and sees the cop lights come on. And she's like, oh my God.
I'm like, what are the odds of that?
What are the odds?
What are the odds? Guys, it's fake. Him?
Guys, it's not
fake. Wait, we're filming. Hey, we're filming. My God, we're filming.
It's all fake. That's fake blood. See, you lick your fingers. Ketchup.
I'm hungry right now. Anyway.
You're what?
Hungry.
Me too. I haven't eaten dinner yet.
Because it's hungry. What would you do?
Okay, so we go to the gallery. We have a little montage at the end of the episode. Rufus and Lily are just laughing.
Guess what? He got her on her back.
And then, oh, great. Oh, great, little Jay.
Jenny, I thought she was going to be knocking on the Archibald door. And I was like, I swear to God, if Nate opens that door,
I thought it was going to be Vanessa's door. And she was like, I just need to be anywhere but home.
I need to be in my mother's in a mother's arms. Are you my mommy? She goes to Alice and Humphrey's house and says, Mom, it's time to come home.
She says it in true Cindy Lou Who fashion.
Yes, she does. I'm like, hey, girl, you guys got to talk. Anyway.
Which is this when she doesn't leave this soon?
No.
This
no,
isn't no, her no. going. Okay.
No. Oh, my God. No, we have. Oh, no. There is truly so much. So Chuck and Blair are in the limo on the way home. She's had literally the best night of her life.
We have this one more glimpse on the way of home Dan from the and Serena, by the way.
Oh, sorry. I was so bored. so bored by them. So Chuck and Blair, I'm just so eager to get to this moment. Our big moment for Chuck and for CMB, Chuck and Blair.
CMB.
He's like, Blair, you're amazing up there. And she scoots over and they start making out. I don't love how they kiss one time and he goes, are you sure? Well, I don't know, Chuck. Like, I mean, you're just kissing.
You know,
jump the fucking gun. She's like, of course I'm sure. I'm freaking dying to lose it. And they start boning in the backseat. And Dan, who said Manhattan teens don't have cars?
I think this is one of the stills that they used in the billboards.
Yes, for sure it is. And the music picks up. It is such a good scene. It's like they're like the music is slow,
it's,
and then when
it's
they kiss,
edited
the music
the
like
same way, yeah,
as the burlesque show and as the like
it's
sex
edited
tape moment.
The same way as the Shepherd wedding is a little bit,
yeah, with like the vintage. Yeah. No, it's totally different than the Shepherd wedding.
No, I just mean the way that they're stitching the scenes together.
Yeah, I guess I'll give it.
Like
to
it's
you.
A it's bunch just, of short clips so of them like making out in different positions
of him like moving the strap down her arm, and it's yeah. like the vintage effects. It's very iconic. Okay, it's very iconic.
All right, you guys. Season 1, episode 8.
Oh!
17 candles. Blair puts her heartbreak over Nate on hold and tries to suppress her feelings from her friends at her 17th birthday party. Dan takes Vanessa to the party.
Wait, did I read that wrong? Wait, Dan, come again?
Okay, yeah. Dan takes Vanessa to
this is how you spell Vanessa, right? V-A-N. Is this how you spell Serena? I didn't realize.
Hoping. Oh, the sentence gets crazy.
Hoping for what, Dan?
Hoping that she will bond with Serena.
Men are a plague.
This backfires when it actually makes Serena even more uncomfortable. Elsewhere.
That's shocking.
Elsewhere, good guy Nate's parents ask him to make a massive sacrifice.
Can't wait to see what that
is. Oh, my God. They're going to make Nate do reconstructive physical surgery to look like the captain so that he can be the one in
he
jail.
He can go to jail instead. They're like, I'm sorry, he's not strong enough.
They're cutting his fingertips off
of
everything.
He's addicted to coke. He wants to be doing coke, so he can't be in jail, unfortunately. That's not allowed there. So.
And you're not, so it's perfect,
you're
actually.
Not. So it's actually worked out for the best, Nate. Thanks so much, babe. Anyway, guys, that's next week. And next week, we'll also have a Tuesday video or Tuesday episode for you. So let us know what do you want us to talk about. But we will be talking about reality TV. So we've got the Salt Lake City reunion. We'll have Southern Charm. We'll have Traitors. If you're watching Traitors, you've got some time to get caught up because we'll talk about that on Tuesday.
Hey, Colton?
Colton needs to chill the fuck out.
I almost said I want you gone, but that's not true. The one thing I've ever agreed with Danielle from Traitors of last season is I want you to taste the prize. I want you to be so close to it that you can taste it.
Yep.
And I want Rob, Lisa, or Candace to say, fuck you.
I'm a little worried about Lisa.
Actually, what I would love is for one of the traders to be like, and by the way, Colton, I know what you did. I've been exactly thinking it this whole time.
I'm like, they're so close to saying it about Michael Rapaport. I'm like, when are they going to say it about Colton? You know what I mean? Well, there was a moment where he says, Sidorenda, you dodged a bullet. And I'm like, yeah. And explain what that means. Explain what you really mean by that. Because it's not just that you're gay, my guy. Uh-huh. She dodged a bullet because you're a fucking crazy stalker. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Remember what I said in the beginning. Help us out. Help a sister out, a fellow sister. We love you guys so much. If you want to hear us talk more about our lives and pop culture and reality TV and all that, head to the Patreon. And we will also see you on Tuesday next week as well as Thursday. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening.
See you next week. And...